So in a way, it tells you who's the father of Joel, but it's telling us that this book of Joel is a vision of God. It's from God. It's going to tell us what God is going to do, what God is going to let happen. Okay, so keep that in mind. Okay, so this is the direction that I'm going towards to. Not just looking at what it means literally, but we're going to see the spiritual meaning, the metaphors, okay, the teachings, the spiritual teachings. Concerning the location, it should be referred to Judah, because you talk about the temple, the priest, willing. So it refers to kingdom Judah. But concerning when, nobody knows. If you even look at the reference books, historians are not quite sure when the invasion locusts take place. Okay. So that's for the summary. That's the background. Let's look at verse 2 to verse 7. This is concerning the invasion of locusts. And since you haven't read it, well, I guess we have to read it. Verse 2. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or even the days of your fathers? Verse 3. Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children, and their children to their children another generation. Verse 4. What the chewing locusts left, the swarming locusts had eaten. What the swarming locusts left, the crawling locusts had eaten. And what the crawling locusts left, the consuming locust has eaten. Verse 5. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth. Verse 6. For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. Verse 7. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white. Okay. Here, from verse 2 to verse 5, it describes about this invasion of locusts. Have you ever seen in National Geography about locusts? Like you see a swarming locust in the skies? Some of you maybe have seen it. I've seen it, and it's dreadful. It's scary. You can never imagine that the sky can be darkened by locusts. I mean, you think of bugs, right? You're scared. We don't like bugs. Imagine the sky is filled with bugs. Cover not just the sky, but also cover the ground. And then I remember it was that take place in Middle East or Africa. And you can see locusts everywhere, and literally everywhere, and they're eating anything that's green. And they strip it bare. There's only branches left. There's no one single green left in the field, whether it's vegetables or trees, all gone. I mean, all the leaves are gone. It was so scary. And this invasion of locusts, it's not just for a couple of days. Okay. If you look at Joel chapter 2, verse 25, it talks about years of locusts. Look at verse 25. It says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts had eaten, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, and the chewing locusts, my great army which I sent among you. Bible says years. Well, at least 2 years, right, to be pearls. Right. Can you imagine, at that time, agricultural society, how are they going to live? And this is like ways and ways. Some people say these four types of locusts is four stages of locust. Okay, there's a different saying out there if you read enough reference book. But we don't care about the reference book, okay? But we're going to focus on the Bible. By the way, if I talk about the passage sometime, I assume that you know something. I mean, you already knew some things. I will not quote him Bible verse. But if you don't get it, please raise your hand. I'll be happy to tell you where the Bible bases, what I base upon. Because of time, I try to cover entire three chapters. Sometime I might forgot, or sometime I want to rush through, so I might skip some Bible verses. Remember, our church, everything based on Bible, and to prove it. Okay. So let's go back. And so these four kinds of locusts recorded in verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4. And it said the chewing locust left. So the chewing locust had eaten. And then what? Another called swarming locust. And after swarming locust had eaten and left, then crawling locust comes. So you can see that this is keep coming. How are people going to live at that time? I mean, maybe you have some storage of food, but can it last you for years? Sometimes people don't have food to last for a month. Imagine lasting for years. And there's so many people. We're not talking about a small regional place like in LA. We're talking about perhaps the whole entire land, Judah. Okay. And maybe some of you haven't seen the invasion of locusts. Of course, we haven't. It never happened in Los Angeles because it's city, okay? But I seen it in the TV. It's quite shocking. It's quite amazing. But is it the Bible trying to tell us it's just about this physical locus? I mean, what does it have to do with us today? Not much, right? Not much, really. But what I want to tell you is this is, Bible tell us, I mean, there was an invasion of locusts a long time ago. But God used something that's physical, happened in the past, to serve as a foreshadow, a symbolism of what is to come. And that's what's scary us. That's quite scary. That's why we need to learn about the book of Joel. Okay. So what is this invasion locust? Later on, it turned to an army. Let's look at verse 6. For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion. He has the fangs of a fierce lion. Now, this is not just locusts anymore. Now, God's using the locusts, so it's without numbers, like sands of the sea. So many, you cannot count them. You stamp on this locust, right? No big deal. Another locust takes place. I seen it in the TV that people try to kill locusts. It's almost like futile. No point. Why? So many. No matter how many you kill, they keep coming. It's endless. Right. You can kill it all day long. And then what? The locusts keep coming and cover the land. They don't care. You kill them because there's so many of them. They keep eating it. Okay. So, and this is describing this nation has so many arms, so many troops, people coming to destroy God's land. And this can, of course, you can say some people interpret this as attacking the land of Judah. But this is also has a prefiguration attacking the chosen people of God. Okay. And this is what that's what I'm concerned with, and this is what we have to read. What does locust represent? This is here talk about the army. But I'd like to tell you about it also represents evil spirits too. But let's look at Revelation chapter 20. There's a couple of things that I need to talk to you about so that to make you know the importance of the book of Joel, especially the invasion locust and what to do with it. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. I know some of you, many of you, have heard the interpretation already from verse 1 to verse 10. But some of you haven't. This is where it's going to take some time. I don't want to spend my class on chapter Revelation chapter 20. But at the same time, I had to talk about it just briefly too. Okay, but if you have any question, you're welcome to raise your hands. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 10, talk about the millennium kingdom, or the 1,000 years kingdom. From verse 1 to 3, it's talking about before the 1,000 years kingdom. And chapter 20, verse 1 to 10, actually is a brief summary from Revelation chapter 6 all the way to Revelation chapter 19. It's a summary. Okay, Revelation chapter 6 all the way to Revelation chapter 19 is what 1,000 years reign, ending it. In verse 1 to 3, it talks about there was an angel having a key to a bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He chained the dragon, and he put that dragon, the Satan, the devil, into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. So that, and that 1,000 years is actually, if you read the MANA magazine, the two research committee already had researched and defined it. The 1,000 years kingdom is actually from the starting of Jesus' church. Okay. The purpose of chaining the Satan and put him in the bottomless pit is that he will not deceive the nations. Okay. Is he deceived? Satan's still working today, but there's one thing that God prevented him from doing it, and that is what? Verse 7 and verse 8. That one thing God preventing him. Verse 7 said, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. That's the bottomless pit. Verse 8, and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sands of the sea. Verse 9, they went up on the breadth of this earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. Okay, this is what Satan will do after 1,000 years. This is what God preventing him from doing it within that 1,000 years. Okay. And from verse 4 to verse 6 of chapter 20, it's talk about the reign of 1,000 years. Okay. What's the reign like? This is, spiritually speaking, that we reign with Christ on the throne, whoever put Jesus Christ first. And then in verse 4, it says those who are beheaded. This is being killed. In Bible, if people hate us, Jesus said that is murder. So this is not meant to be literally people actually physically died and then they reign with Christ. This means referring to people hated us because we're doing the will of God. Okay. And we are beheaded. We've been persecuted. Okay. That's what it means. And we have overcome the world, overcome the image of the beast. And verse 5, it says, the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. The first resurrection referred to we who have been baptized. After we have been baptized, we resurrect. That's the first resurrection. But who are the rest of the dead? It's the Jews. Jews, after the 1,000 years kingdom is over, the Jews will come to believe. Let's put a bookmark here. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11, verse 25. 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 For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that hardening in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Verse 26. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Okay, verse 27. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. I hear Paul mention that one day when the fullness of the Gentile number has come in, fullness of the Gentile has come in. This is referring to besides the Jews, all the Gentiles that had come to believe. Okay? Then what? The kingdom ends. Now the salvation will go to the Jews, the Israel, the Israelites. And this is the prophecy. So in the future, the Jews or the Israelites will come to believe. This is what God promised them. So the rest of the day refer to the Jews. Once the 1,000 years is over. Okay, let's go back to Revelation chapter 20. Okay. Chapter 20. Now let's talk about verse 7 to verse 10. This, after 1,000 years is over, two things are going to happen. One, we mentioned the rest of the day will resurrect, refer to Jews, the chosen people of God. They also are chosen people of God, besides Gentile. They will come to believe. The other thing that will happen is Satan will be released, and then he will gather the people to attack the chosen people of God. The camp of the saints refers to the church. The beloved city, it should be referred to Jerusalem. It referred to the Jews. Okay. So both the spiritual people, the physical people, the Jews will be persecuted. Okay. So this is what will happen after 1,000 years kingdom ends. You might say, what's that have to do with Book of Joel? Let's turn to Daniel chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Let's look at verse 1 to verse 11. Then, Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 to verse 11. This is the fifth trumpet. This is actually, when fifth trumpet blew, is the end of 1,000 years kingdom. Locusts will appear. Okay, that's what I want to talk to you about. Some of you haven't read it, so I'll read it. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Verse 3. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power as the scorpion of the earth have power. Verse 4. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Verse 5. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes. Amen. Verse 6. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, but death will flee from them. Verse 7. And the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. Verse 8. They have hair like woman's hair, and their teeth were like a woman's teeth. Verse 9, and they have breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. Verse 10, they had tails like scorpion, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Verse 11, and they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Okay. Here records that when the fifth trumpet sounded, there was an angel opened the bottomless pit. Remember we read Revelation chapter 20? Satan was bound in the bottomless pit. After 1,000 years, the bottomless pit was opened. So here record that this is the end of the 1,000 years kingdom. And what happened when 1,000 years kingdom is over? It says what? The locust came out from the bottomless pit. What's in the bottomless pit, brothers? Evil spirits. Right. Remember, Satan was bound in the bottomless pit. And of course, once released, Bible say in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7, Satan was released. Here it says locusts was what? Appearing. These are not really the locusts we're talking about, the physical locusts. Bible use locusts is described, one, is described their numbers. So many, so many. They can blacken the skies. There's so many. It's almost like sands of the sea. Okay. And these locusts, it's just, they have, you know, physical locusts have one goal, is just to eat and destroy the vegetations. But here, this is what? These locusts are what? Is to deceive people. Remember in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 to 10, it talks about is to deceive the people. And this is what I'm trying to say is the 1,000 years kingdom is over. Basically, God's grace, God's salvation, the door of salvation is closed to the Gentiles. During 1,000 years, people can come to believe and receive salvation. But God's grace, salvation, is not forever. After a certain period of time, the salvation is going to close. No more. And there will be great persecution, and that time will be real hard to preach. And people's heart is hardened. There's no point to preach to Gentiles because God will not let them believe. God promised that there was some slots are reserved for the Jews to be safe. Okay. And so, and you say, well, isn't it, Joel talk about the army, the physical army, but how come I'm here talking about the spiritual army, the Satans, the evil spirits? We have to understand, when the evil spirit release, where do evil spirits go? Where do evil spirits go? Do you know where they love to stay? Come on, tell me. You know. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. This is where Satan loved to go and loved to stay. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Let's read from verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Here Paul is telling the Ephesian believers that God made them alive. This is the first baptism. I mean, the first resurrection through water baptism. They were made alive through water baptism. Okay, in the past, they were dead. They're in sin. Now, verse 2, it says, Paul talked about in the past, that before they baptized, before they resurrect for the first time, also can refer to us, that in one time of our life, that we actually belong to Satan, okay? The prince of the power of the air referred to the evil spirit, referred to Satan. It says, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So now today, there's a lot of unbelievers out there that the spirit, the evil spirits are in them, working in them to fulfill their lustful desires. And be careful, even though we are baptized, if we're not cautious, not watchful, Satan can also enter into us so that we will have the manifestation of verse 3, Okay? Conduct ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind. Okay. So Satan was released after 1,000 year kingdom. Gentile will be deceived totally. The unbelievers. And then what? They will come to attack the chosen people of God. Just recorded in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 to 10. They come, they surrounded the camp of the saints. And then it's a numbers like sands of the sea. You can pretty much like say locusts is everywhere. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is, this evil spirit possessing the people. You cannot see the evil spirit. But then you'll discover that the people who are not safe, they become the army of Satan. Okay, come to attack us. Now let's turn back to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, from verse 7 to verse 11. These are the characteristics of the locust. But these characteristics we actually refer to evil spirits. But now, I want to let you know, when evil spirits dwell in a person, feel in that person, what the quality, the characteristic of the evil spirit will also pass on to the human being. So here, from verse 7 to verse 11, it's not just the characteristics of the evil spirit. Now what? These characteristics transfer to human. Two. For example, just give you an illustration. When we are Holy Spirit and filled with Holy Spirit, we should have the manifestation of Jesus Christ. That should be. But what if a person being filled with evil spirit? Then you will have all these characteristics to deal with in verse 7 to verse 11. And what does this characteristic mean? Okay. Just briefly talked about this Bible verses, but I don't know if I have time to show you every single one of them. But I'll be happy to show you if you ask or question me. Okay. Verse 7, it says, the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. First, we'll talk about evil spirit. The evil spirit, once it was released, they were eager to what? Possess the people. Remember Revelation 20, verse 7. Once the evil spirit was released, Satan was released, the first thing he do, right? Go into the people, deceive them, possess them. Right? They're eager, like going for war. Their war is what? Possessing people, deceive people. But what happened is when the evil spirit come upon the people, they will be eager to go for war. What war? Against the truth, against the chosen people of God, against God. Okay? Attacking the chosen people of God, going for war, and also to deceive the chosen people of God. This is a war that they will fight with us, and then we had to be prepared for it. They're eager to go in for war. So you can see also their fervency. Okay? They'll prepare, they're ready. Next one. Is on their heads were crowns of something like gold. Okay. In the Bible, the chosen people of God have crowns too. In the Bible, it talks about crowns of righteousness, crowns of glory, crowns of life. It's to represent that they have overcome temptations or they have served God. They have their glory. But here, mention that they have also their glory. But that their glory is like the crowns of gold, but they're not crowns of gold. This is, the Satan, evil spirit, had their some kind of power, their own glory. But upon the people, these people also have somewhat of a glory or status. Okay. Can't talk everything. But let me finish real quickly, and I will leave five minutes to you to ask questions, okay? And I'll be happy to show you the verses. The next one is verse 7. Their faces were like the faces of men. Okay. In the Bible, talk about Satan is like Satan can appear like an angel of light. They can deceive people. Okay. Their faces like human beings. But now, when the evil spirit comes upon people, the people will be like what? Just like in 2 Timothy, Paul mentioned. In the last days, people have the form of godliness, but do not have the essence of godliness. They appear to be godly. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Okay? They appear godly, but they don't have the essence inside. So don't be deceived. Okay? Verse 8, they have hair like woman's hair. This woman's hair in 2 Corinthians, Paul mentioned that they were woman's covering, but it also is a sign of submission. These evil spirits submit to the head, Satan. They're very submissive. God's kingdom, they don't, I mean, instead, in evil spirit kingdom, they don't fight each other. Remember, God, one time, Jesus Christ cast out evil spirits. And some people say, oh, this evil spirit casts an evil spirit. Jesus said, no, evil spirit fighting each other, their kingdom do not stand. Okay, so they were submissive to what? In verse 11, there's a king. Abaddon means destroyer. In Hebrew and Greek, same thing. It's being destroyer. Okay. But once the evil spirit deceive people, possess the people, fill in that person, they'll be submissive to the Satan without knowing it. They'll be very submissive. Okay. And let's read on, verse 8, second part of verse 8. Their teeth were like the lion's teeth. What does it tell you? Remember, in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 6, second part of verse 6. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. So in the book of Job, he only has a very brief description. In describing the nations, right, the army is a very mean, very cruel, like a lion, looking for people to devour, to kill. Right? Here in Revelation chapter 9, first talk about evil spirit, what evil spirit is like. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, says, Satan is like a roaring lion, looking for people to devour. I mean, they were... And now possessing the people, now these people has this very mean character. They have evil plan, motive, you know, looking to devour, attack us. Okay. Verse 9, they have breastplate, like the breastplate of iron. As a Christian, we have the armor of God. But now what? The enemies, evil spirit are also prepared now. They have armors too. Now, when they possess the people, they will be also be equipped too. So what I'm trying to say is, in the future, when you fight, it's not that easy. When you cast out evil spirit, it's not that easy. They have their armors. Okay. When you want to preach the truth, not that easy too. They have something to fight back against you. Okay. For example, today, now when we preach to others, some people have come out quoting Bible verses. Other people misquoting Bible verses to refute us. In the future, it's even harder. Okay. So we have armors. And at that time, our swords, our armor, should be complete. Our sword should be long and sharp. The sword represents the word of God. Long and sharp means we should know a lot and know deep. Okay. Imagine you have a sword, like a putty knife. Very short. It's like, where's your knife? Where's your sword? I just know very little. But it's very sharp. I know it so well. But it's very little. It probably cut the skin. It doesn't cut inside deeper than the skin. But what if you have a very long, but not very sharp? You know a lot, but it's kind of vague. It's like an iron bar. They have metal. They have armor of iron, too. Doesn't hurt. Doesn't kill them. Doesn't cut through their iron, too. So we need to be ready. Our sword should be long and sharp. Okay. I mean, we should know a lot, and we should know complete, we should know deep. Okay, so that's why we need also have Bible study, our own individual one, also in church, have a deeper understanding of the Bible. Next one, let's go to second part of verse 9. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battles. In Ezekiel, the sound of the wings of the cherubim is like, it says, like the voice of Almighty God. The winds here is talking about preaching the gospel for us, cherubim, the angels. But here, talk about what? Satan loved to talk about heresies, wrong doctrines, things that look right but it's wrong. And when these people, when Satan possessed the people, these people will be inspired to preach heresies, like wars, noise. This is not the word of God. Okay. Let's go on to verse 10. These are Bible verses, okay, just one, but I will be happy later on to show it to you one by one. It said their tails were like scorpion. The tails in the Bible, Old Testament, it refers to false prophets, okay? And the sting is the sin or the heresies, okay? Okay, so pretty much this is a brief description of evil spirit and what will happen to people once they are being possessed and filled with evil spirits. Now, like I said, I open for questions. I have 5 minutes. Which one do you want to know? The Bible verses. Yes. Yes. One second. Yeah. Can everybody hear? No. Okay, so can you say it again?
Okay, sure.
Which is so far you can stretch.
Sorry.
Okay.
That's okay, I can come up here. So my question is, when the 1,000 years end and the door of salvation to the Gentiles is closed, and then the Gentiles will rise up against God's people to persecute them, and you said that it'll kind of be like there's no point to preach to them because they won't listen, but who do we preach to, and should we still try? Because that's like our commission, right? One of it is to preach.
Very good. Very good question. I want to tell you, at that time, two things. One, we'll be preaching to the Jews. Somebody got to preach to the Jews, right? Who else, how are they going to believe? Right? And the Jews are scattered around the earth. I mean, you don't know who they are. Okay. Some people, I don't know. I mean, how do you define Jews? Some people say by lineage, by Judaism. I don't know. Okay? But we got to preach to them. Second, under great persecutions, at that time, many people would be hiding rather than preaching. Okay, so two things we'll be doing. Okay, does that answer your questions? Okay, any other questions? One more question before it's 10 o'clock, sorry. Thanks. But later on, I think I can ask a counselor to print out all the Bible verses to support the Revelation chapter 9 from verse 7 to verse 11, all the descriptions. All these are Bible verses. So it's not I made up to, but it'll take an hour just talk about verse 7 to verse 11. So please understand, not that I don't want to share with you, but because of time, we went with 3 hours. 1 hour is over already. Any questions? Okay, no, it's 10 o'clock. Okay, let's pray in silence to conclude. Mm-hmm.